Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, hybrid office meetings. The questions this cast answers are, how do I run a hybrid meeting? How should I modify my meetings to make them effective? And should I do away with meetings? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Folks, if you've been thinking for a while about bringing us on site to your company, you should know that we're traveling here in October of 2021 and actually getting quite busy before the end of the year. And so we're happy to come on site. We know that there are many places where it still might make sense for you to do virtual training with Zoom, and that's fine. But if you're wondering whether or not we're doing it, we're getting so busy we're having to deconflict our schedules. So other firms are doing it. You might want to consider it yourself. If so, reach out to us, maggie@manager-tools.com.
So we live in a new world.
Still.
We thought this was temporary, and it turns out it's temporarier.
Yeah.
More temporary. And one of the things that probably a lot of people are dealing with, which is kind of hard to really know what to do if you haven't been doing it, is meetings in a situation where some of your people are in the office and some of them people.
Right.
I should warn you, Sarah, I've presented enough hours this week that I have had multiple days where I can't think of a word.
Awesome. So I'm like your thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Tuesday, I couldn't think of the word twisty. It's a word. I couldn't think of it.
It's a normal word.
Blanked on it. None of these things are about hybrid office meetings, which is what we're here to discuss. Mm-hmm. If you're in a situation where some of your directs are in the office and some of your directs are remote and you have to do meetings, it's going to be harder. And we want to help
more
you with that.
More complex and confusing.
Yeah. And we've done some testing to make sure that this works, which was kind of fun, I guess. So
yeah, totally. All right. The outline for today's cast. First off, technology is not the problem. Then, making an update to your ground rules. And finally, using your parking lot for hot washes and communicating them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This first part is something we've been talking about a lot. Technology is not the problem. And Wow, there's a lot of noise out there that technology is the problem. And so if you go looking around for ideas or help on this topic, how to make your meetings work in hybrid environments, what you're going to be presented with is just, here's a list of why technology makes everything terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so many horror stories.
Awful. And stuff like 30 people on a laptop screen with heads super big, like just really big or really, really small.
Really, really tiny.
Yeah. Cameras that don't work or cameras that go out. 5 people in a conference room with one screen, like huddled.
Mm-hmm.
But really, technology is only part of the problem, a small part, in fact. And we know this because we've been to terrible meetings where everyone was in the room.
In person, terrible in-person meetings. And the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Really great meetings where the technology was terrible, but everything was done cheerfully and efficiently. And the both are true.
Yeah. This tells us that the key to all meetings is behavior, not technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the hybrid offices we're going back to means we have to update our behaviors and adjust to our new reality. It's easy because we're smart and we care about the mission of our organization and we care about each other. We want to do well. We want to engage with our peers and our coworkers in an effective and professional way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not get caught up in a technology hunt.
Right. Not making that the ultimate source.
Yeah. And don't go searching for new technology to solve what you think the problem is either, right?
Exactly.
Because as soon as you do that, as soon as you solve in air quotes, the tech problem, someone will adjust their behavior to the new reality. And then, hey, guess what? We have to chase some other new problem.
Some other new problem. That's the thing. I mean, when COVID started, when we made the decision to move to doing our conferences virtually,
mm-hmm.
We looked at the products we could use Zoom or we could use Microsoft Teams or there's Adobe Connect or there's GoToMeeting or there's so many of them. And they all have different value propositions and none are entirely perfect. So searching for a perfect tool that's going to give you 100% of what you want 100% of the time doesn't exist. Pick a tool and work within that tool.
Yeah. And so let's assume you're in a generic hybrid environment, which we'll define as some people are at work, some are at home, and different people on different days without really a pattern to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over time, it's probably likely that you might start enforcing some of those patterns, right? So that you can plan a bit better.
Yeah, that might make it easier.
Yeah, exactly. We don't necessarily, though, recommend you build a meeting technology solution around days of the week. Even if you do have a pattern saying, oh, this is the tool that we're going to use for all of the meetings that happen in our office on Tuesdays because we know Kate and Wendy are at home and Sarah and Andrew are in the office. That's more work than it needs to be.
And it'll change.
And it'll change. Good call. As the times of the year change, as people's personal calendars change, as things are going to change, building a solution around who you know is going to be in the office on a specific day is definitely more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the analogy here that resonates with us specifically too, is that hybrid tech issues are a bit like being booked on a flight that gets canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your schedule or, you know, distance and stuff like that, you could rent a car, you could send somebody else, you could take a train, you could reschedule. The airplane is the technology. It's not the purpose of the trip.
Right.
So in both cases, what we need to do is figure out what to do with your technology. And we're going to make some simple suggestions, but don't get wrapped around it. Other people are going to wait for a fantastic state of, you know, hybrid video conferencing system,
mm-hmm.
which will be rushed out based on tech and not people. And we'll have all kinds of glitches, by the way. And until that time, if you're not willing to make the adaptations now that you can,
mm-hmm.
you'll just be stumbling around rather than learning. So make a distinction, make a decision, choose your tech weapons, and then ignore the technology and focus on your goals and the principles of good meetings.
Exactly. And focusing on the principles of good meetings means doing things, for example, updating your ground rules to support those principles. Now, before we tell you specifically how to modify your ground rules, here's how to start doing all this stuff once you decide to do it. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, we'd have you send out an announcement, whether that announcement be via email or via your Slack tool, maybe you use Slack, something like that. Or even mention it in one of your first couple of hybrid meetings that you're going to be doing things differently in light of the challenges of a hybrid environment.
Mm-hmm.
It might sound something like, hey guys, we'll be working in different ways as we come back to the office. The hybrid way of working will make some things easier and some things harder. When stuff like this happens, we'll adjust. And we adjust thoughtfully. We communicate about it. Here are some of the ways we're going to address the hybrid world we'll be living in for a while. Bullet, 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 followed by those things that you're going to be changing and adapting.
Mm-hmm. So after you hear this cast and you decide what to change about how you've been working, you can list those changes, your bullet, bullet, bullet pieces. In your first few meetings, even if you do announce these things in advance, make sure you cover them as a reminder because behavioral change is hard. Don't assume that sending out one email and then immediately starting.
Everyone will fall in line. Everyone's just immediately going to fall
right.
in line.
Send an email and then immediately change your meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume that people are going to comply, right?
Yeah.
And don't assume that the lack of compliance is a revolt.
Yeah, mutiny. Mutiny on the ship. They're throwing me overboard.
Right. It's fully just, hey, we forgot.
Right.
Honestly.
We totally didn't read your email.
There's that.
Weren't paying attention. I mean, say something 7 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll only have heard it once. And remember Hanlon's razor. Never attribute to malice that which can easily be explained by incompetence or inattention.
Exactly. They're not necessarily angry at your new rules. They maybe just didn't pay attention when you told them.
It's so easy to stay in your pattern, right? Like, I go to meetings. This is what I do when I go to meetings. I remember when we first switched, and we were always remote, but we switched platforms for our meetings. And there's a whole lot of muscle memory involved in.
Oh, totally.
I have a meeting, and if your muscle memory is good, you could get from whatever you're doing, because you're at your desk, right? If you're at your workstation, you could get from whatever you're doing to the meeting in under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
If, though, you do this with 4 minutes to go before it starts, you're not 2 minutes early, and it's going to take you a full 6 to find the other technology, right?
It's right. Like, oh, dang it. Where's the other app? I've opened the wrong one this morning.
Yeah. And it didn't always used to be that links to meetings were in calendar invites.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's that transition of just changing your patterns. Mm-hmm.
It's a different pattern.
Yeah. My body automatically used to open up Skype for our one-on-ones. Every morning we'd open Skype. And now I don't even look at Skype.
Yeah.
I look at him through the corner of my eye.
Right? Still there. All right. So now, the solution to having effective hybrid meetings is having ground rules for those meetings. Mm-hmm. Technology is not the answer. It's not the answer that will guarantee you effective meetings. If you don't have the right repeated behaviors, which you can only get by having meeting ground rules, there's no technology in the world that will save you from your dreadful meeting.
Here's the thing about hybrid offices. It's really just a change of environment. Mm-hmm. Hybrid doesn't have to be a big deal. It's unlikely that unless you're willing to spend a ton of money that your tech is going to be perfect.
Exactly.
And again, it's not the tech that's the problem. It's behaviors. Mm-hmm. We could have said this at the front, but we're saying it at the bottom. So bottom line at the bottom, behavior can trump tech, but tech won't trump behavior.
Exactly.
Okay. So now we're back to our actual guidance on ground rules.
Yes, exactly. So the manager tools, meeting ground rules modified to address those areas we see as ones that are most affected by our generic hybrid situation. First off, pre-publish an agenda.
Surely this is old news.
You'd think yes, but since hybrid makes things a little harder, it's worth it to reconsider those basics again. It doesn't take but 5 minutes or less, probably, to sort out a really short agenda. And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how to sort out a short agenda in five minutes, Sarah, there's a cast for that. So for every hour-long meeting, use your rough agenda planning to cram whatever you plan to do in that 60 minutes into 45. Step number one. Why? Because you can. Mm-hmm. We've seen it done thousands of times. We did a podcast about this. I think it was called the 95%. Try and do 100% of your stuff in 95% of the time.
Yeah. And because people need bio breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're living in this world, you know, you don't have 5 minutes between meetings. When are you supposed to get water?
Right.
I'm thirsty.
I'm thirsty. What am I supposed to eat?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, wouldn't that be great if you had 15? Actually, today I ate in a 10-minute break between meetings. Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah.
Exactly. And we don't realize, guys, the amount of moving around that the office environment allows. Mm-hmm. That walking, that 5 minutes, 10 minutes between meetings, that, oh, shoot, I'm just going to stop at the coffee room. I'm going to stop here at the washroom. We don't realize it. It's different when your meeting space is your laptop or your desk in your apartment and your meetings are back to back to back. So we'd recommend doing a 60-minute meeting, in this case, in 45 minutes to give your folks some time to be human beings with bodies so they can feed them and they can go to the bathroom and they can drink water and be healthy.
Yes. When someone on your team invites you to a meeting, ask them for the agenda. And tell everybody else they're empowered to do the same thing. If you don't get an agenda, decline. It's a really simple way to get those agendas up and running.
But don't be a jerk boss, Kate. Mm-hmm. Don't be a jerk boss and tell everyone else that they have to invite you with an agenda, but you don't have to send them an agenda if you send them an invite.
Not cool, dudes.
Not cool.
Yeah. And it's this kind of process discipline that will make technology a non-issue. If it's a short meeting, so we talked about hour-long meetings becoming 45. If it's 30 minutes or less, you don't need an agenda and you need a purpose.
Yeah, for all meetings, regardless of whether or not there's an agenda, there's got to be a purpose.
Mm-hmm. So if you get invited to a meeting and there's no purpose associated with it, decline, make sure we have, you know, ask people for their purpose. And again, don't be a jerk boss, which we still always have to say, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now that we just said doing 30-minute meetings, guess what that's going to cause? A lot of people to be a lot more motivated to do 30-minute meetings.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yay.
I love that outcome. If I say if it's longer than 30 minutes, you need to have an agenda, which means more people are doing more meetings in less than 30 minutes, I also like that outcome.
I do too.
It also works well.
Here's something that's super close to my heart, my angry Machiavellian heart. You cannot just electronically schedule a meeting with anybody just because you found a time slot open on their calendar. And this is like the original, like this is like the OG example of technology being used as an excuse for bad meetings.
Yeah.
Outlook came up, came along, and suddenly you could see other people's calendars. Mm-hmm. And you just, I'll just slot this in right here. Not so fast, time thief.
Exactly.
Sneaky. Yes, anybody can ask, but hey, few people can comply and anyone can decline.
Yeah, exactly. If we're going to ask for other people's time, we're going to have to start getting better at making a case for other people's time.
Mm-hmm. Purpose, agenda, those things make the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right in the request, right in the meeting request itself. So they know before they say yes, what this meeting is about.
Heck, in the title.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's not just meeting inviters. I don't know if that's the right word. It's not just the people who are inviting others that have responsibility in this sending meeting invitation conundrum. The recipients also have responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you have doubts or you have a question or something comes through that you're not quite sure about, don't just simply decline not going to your meeting. Communicate. And please, don't just say maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Because you have two things on your calendar. You're double booked and you're going to decide. And then 5 minutes before the meeting itself, decide and decline on someone who's been planning for this other meeting.
No, not cool.
That's rude. That's not cool. You might be a required party in that meeting. Don't maybe and just leave them hanging and preparing for meetings only to find you not show up at the last minute. Sorry, guys. I guess we're going to have to reschedule because they didn't come, I guess.
We talk about this in EMCs when we have presentations because people see that they have a conflict for their one-on-one and they think, oh, I'll figure it out later. The next time you figure that out is right before. So decline or accept or whatever, make whatever changes you need to do at the time you know that there is an issue. This is another place where I want to make the case to everybody about only checking your email 3 times a day. Because if you have 6 minutes in between meetings and if you're not going to use it to go get water or coffee, you think to yourself, oh, I'll use it to check email. You don't have time to reschedule 3 meetings.
Right.
That's probably not something that's helpful. Well, unless I also want to make the case for having your directs be responsible for some of those calendar invites, because it is awesome to be able to Slack my directs and say, hey, this meeting that you and I have, we need to move it. Can you move it so that I don't have to do it? And it's awesome. One less thing to do.
Exactly. One less thing to do.
If everybody on the team does this, the tech issues won't matter. And the people who don't embrace it will be the people who are complaining about tech. So we'll know who they are.
Yeah. Well, no, they're easily identifiable. Next up then, important point, all of them are, but this one especially, this one's close to my heart, start on time. Why, when we went virtual, did everyone decide that the time the meeting began was somehow flexible?
I don't know. You're at your desk. You know the time.
Exactly. It's probably giving you a reminder. 10 minutes in advance telling you, hey, yo, in 10 minutes, there's no meeting. There's no excuse. If you're in another meeting, which I think is the biggest reason, right? Another meeting is going long. Log out and get to the next one on time. To be honest, guys, meetings that have not achieved their purpose 1 minute before the end of the meeting are probably poorly managed and incredibly unlikely to achieve their purpose if this meeting goes another 5 minutes after the slated end time. Just leave. Go to the next meeting and help that meeting start on time.
Yeah.
It won't take very long. Hanging up, leaving before people realize, yeah, there's a new standard here, yo.
Yeah. Complaining about, oh, everybody's late because all the meetings run long. Well, we can fix that real quick.
Yeah. It's a domino effect.
Absolutely.
Because if we do this in the first one and we're 5 minutes late and that meeting starts 5 minutes late and everything's pushed back for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because of one meeting.
Terrible.
Leave on time. Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you're thinking about coming to a conference yourself, one of our public conferences, we have one coming up in a few weeks. Washington, D.C., November 2nd and 3rd, we're doing our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. There are some seats still available. Our virtual events have been selling out, and so we've been adding both virtual events and public in-person events. Washington, D.C., November 2nd and 3rd, Effective Manager and Effective Communicator. Hope to see you there.
Next is use a facilitator, stick to the agenda, and fix responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
This is three smushed together, but that's because they all work so well together. Yes, the meeting leader can be the facilitator, but in a hybrid situation, having a facilitator will help you, the leader, keep track of how things are going, whether the ground rules are being followed. Using a facilitator who's not the leader allows you to focus on content, directs, versus running the meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Versus the mechanics. Because running the meeting is the least important of the three possible things that you should be doing as the manager.
Mm-hmm. And facilitator behaviors are easier.
Yeah.
That is, once everyone on your team, and anyone on your team could, run a meeting, everyone will be able to facilitate for you. And now they're learning how to run effective meetings in the future by taking over part of all of those responsibilities we often clump into our responsibility as chair. We're giving them a little bit of practice doing part of it.
Which is really important, because I think we can all agree that even though we think we go to good meetings, they're actually pretty trash. And it's partially because nobody ever taught us how to run meetings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so in terms of the facilitator, your facilitator keeps track of time, reminds everybody what needs to be covered by when. When it's time to move on, the facilitator helps you stick to your agenda. They delineate out loud who's going to do what, by when, around the topic discussed, like assigning deliverables. They introduce the next topic. And as long as you make it clear that the facilitator speaks for you, you'll get very little pushback from those usual suspects saying, oh, we just need 5 more minutes.
Just 5 more minutes. I'm almost done, I swear.
5 more minutes is like for baking. It's not for meetings.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we started with begin on time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, finish on time. You guys are going to make it a lot easier for individuals if you'll not schedule meetings back to back and you'll finish whatever meetings you're in on time. If you're the boss, move your meetings along. You can easily be both a cheerleader, someone who's positive, who's adding energy to the meeting, as well as a scrupulous timekeeper who's ensuring things get done on time. Mm-hmm. Both of those things can exist in the way you run meetings.
We're going to also set clear tech ground rules.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say it again.
Not again.
If you're at home, you're on video. Full stop.
Yeah. Period. The end. Mark has had at least one question a week from individuals wondering, what do I do about one of my directs who will not turn on their video?
This, as a ground rule, is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. You're not violating people's privacy.
Thank you. You're not violating privacy. I mean, my Coco, we're violating, maybe Coco is upset that people can see her sleep, right?
I know.
Coco,
she
my
glares
dog.
At me constantly yeah, over your shoulders.
Yeah. Good thing Coco doesn't have any privacy, so that works out. But regardless of why they're doing what they're doing, it's a fair request for people to have video on. And there's a pretty simple way not to make it a skirmish. Four parts. First, put video on in your ground rules.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't have video on during a meeting, ask them to please turn it on. Whether someone turns it on or not, give them negative feedback in your next manager tools one-on-one with them about not starting the meeting with video.
Yeah.
If they start a meeting with their video on, don't say anything and give them positive feedback next time you can.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, everyone should be using headsets or earbuds. Wired or wireless are fine. Full stop.
Yeah. And guys, you can't have three people in your conference room all using their own laptops in a meeting while any of them, any of the three, God forbid more than one of the three, are using their computer laptop built-in microphone on a speaker setting. You're going to get feedback. No built-in computer microphones. It does not work.
Yeah, and that also applies if you're at home. Most laptops or even like built-in desktop microphones are really not high enough quality to make for effective meetings. Listen, anybody listening to this who thinks, I don't want to wear a headset or I don't want to wear earbuds or whatever, I cannot tell you how lovely it is to be able to get up and go in and pour some water or some coffee whilst listening to the meeting. And this is a benefit luxury that will be afforded to you should you wear a headset or earbuds that are not wired. It's
yes,
magical. So nice. Okay, so that's audio. In terms of the video itself, we've got video on. And there should only be one face per computer camera.
Exactly. Not three people crowded around one little laptop screen.
It's no good.
That's also not social distancing. And it's terrible for everyone else in the meeting.
Yeah.
The only way to have multiple people on one camera is to use a camera with an associated larger screen, like a TV with a wider angle, better depth camera than what would be on your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you have to test for sound to make sure that the microphone doesn't cut everyone else off while two people within the same room are both attempting to speak.
Yeah, it's called duplexing.
Mm-hmm. You can talk and I can talk at the same time, and we can both hear each other at that same time.
And don't be fooled that something tells you that it's duplex equipped, because a lot of devices say that they are and are not. So you do need to test, because it does take a really good duplex microphone and a big screen TV to allow multiple attendees in one room.
Yeah.
Which, side note, you have to set a ground rule about no sidebar conversations.
Yeah, that's the biggest risk. They're hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to get embroiled in, I'm going to call it, a sidebar conversation in that room.
Yeah, you can hear it.
You can hear it. Exactly. Our testing shows that people who are not in that room, i.e. on the other end, listening and seeing that sidebar conversation, don't like it. It's incredibly distracting. It's hard to listen.
It's the same in a real meeting.
It's the same in a real meeting.
Like in a real meeting room with everybody there. It's like, those two guys are having this conversation. Like, what are they talking about? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it does work fine. Although maybe it's not preferable to have three people at home on their laptops and have three people in the office in their cubes and nobody shares a room. And so basically you're in like a standard Zoom call, even though some of the people are co-located, which it does work.
does. It totally works. Yeah. It's easily achieved by these ground rules.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And some might prefer having some of those folks in the same room because they're in the same building. I mean, why not?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Fine if you have the right audio and video setup.
Which I would argue most people don't.
Exactly. But guys, there's going to be plenty of other meetings with just in the office folks in attendance where you also won't need to Zoom in anyone from home.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally normal in a hybrid environment. And you don't need to show solidarity with the folks who are working from home by having only Zoom meetings so that every single person can be in attendance at all of the meetings. We've heard of it, and it's ineffective.
Yeah, no. And if you're not sure, hey, your tech is pre-COVID, if you're not sure if it's up to the task because of its when you got it, test it.
All the time. Test everything.
Yeah, well,
I totally agree. We test everything constantly.
We do. That's so true.
Always. Sign in early. Test things. I mean, don't leave it to the last minute untested and expect it to go off perfectly. It's not going to happen.
Which brings us to parking lots.
Mm-hmm. Using your parking lot for hot washes and communicating them. Now, for the first few meetings in your new Zoom environment, use your parking lot. If you're unfamiliar with parking lots, we have a podcast on parking lots, a place to write questions, ideas, things that you want to cover but aren't really part of the agenda. You can use your parking lot to conduct a quick hot wash of the meeting. What went well, and what do we need to take a look at or adjust for next time?
Mm-hmm. In your first week, as you start this, you should get enough input to spend 5 minutes on ground rules during your staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, figure out what to change, what to keep, and make sure to communicate that to everyone. And the purpose of that parking lot hot wash is to also adjust if should you need to add more ground rules or make different tech choices. Although remember, that's not a way to solve this problem.
Yeah, exactly. Don't just keep changing tech forever thinking you're going to land on the perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect one doesn't exist.
Yeah. And this is how organizations handle disruptions to standard operating procedures. Talk about it, make changes, talk about whether the changes work. It's a plan, do, act loop.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well-prepared professionals, well-prepared managers and organizations don't assume that technology is the thing that's going to save them.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a good one. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.